In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In looking at the epistle in the gospel today, I was a little confused in that I wasn't sure which one to preach on, because both of these are biggies. Both of these are rich in meaning. They have a lot to tell us. And then I sat back and I realized, well, you know, this is the third Sunday of Matthew, and it's also the third Sunday after Pentecost, and the epistle and the gospel were paired for a reason. So perhaps I should say a little bit about each one of them, and perhaps some of the things in each will begin to make a little bit more sense to us. For we are justified by faith in Christ, and therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These words, justified by faith, have caused more turmoil in the Christian world than perhaps any other single passage of the gospel that I can think of. And the reason for that turmoil is because those that were outside of the ecclesiastical boundaries of the Orthodox Church were trying to interpret it and really had no business doing so. Because when you are divorced from that phronema of the church, you come up to erroneous conclusions that can lead you down a wrong path and just don't make any sense anymore. Even that word justified is something that is not common parlance in the English language today in the way that it was meant back then. When we say we're justified for doing something, we're essentially given reasons why we did something. But to be justified by faith is not to be, be given reasons for faith or something like that. No, it's essentially meaning that we are made righteous by our faith. And many people took that to mean that, well, somehow that's a one-time thing. That only happens once. If you have faith, therefore you are made righteous and you have peace with God. But all we have to do is sit back a little bit and think about our own faith and ask ourselves this question. Is it constant? Is it consistent? Is every moment of our waking lives in full accession to the faith in God and to the belief of our Lord Jesus Christ and to Him as the Son of God? Do we believe that for every moment? Is that something that we could hold on to without wavering, without doubting? And I think the answer that most of us would give is no, it's not. We see that there was much doubting going on even back in the time of the apostles. The Lord was continuously berating people for not believing. Be faithful, not doubting, etc., etc., etc. We hear this many, many times. And so when we read this important passage from Romans, we have to understand that, yes, it is true that we are justified by faith, but in order to maintain that being made righteous, in order to maintain that righteousness that God gives us, we have to maintain that faith. And there are many, many times that we simply drop it. And when we drop it, or we forget it, or we fall into times of doubt and disbelief, then how can we at the same time say that that righteousness remains with us? We can't. We can't do it. So Paul was simply instructing us, look, this is what God gives us. But this is not to deny that there's nothing that you have to do on your part to continue in this. As we stroll on over to the gospel today, we hear something, very, very similar that ties into this idea when the Lord is talking to us today about faithfulness. Now, I mentioned in last week's sermon a quote from W.H. Auden. I don't know if anybody remembers it or not, but he said that the opposite of faith was not doubt, but was anxiety. One person was listening. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is anxiety. And we hear today in this gospel passage exactly that. What is the Lord telling us? Don't be anxious. We are anxious for food. We are anxious for clothing. And that striking sentence about which one of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to their lifespan. Who can do this? Yet that is what we remain most of the time. We remain anxious. We remain essentially faithless. Because the Lord again then says, you know, you faithless people, you faithless generation, don't be like this. Look at the birds of the air. I mean, he picks the birds because they are perhaps the most insensate form of life that we see flying around us. They don't communicate with us. They seem to go their own way, have their own patterns. They are not intelligent in the way that human beings are. They don't have that gift of God of bearing His image and likeness. And so He uses even the birds. Look at the sparrows. Look at the grass, how the grass is clothed. Yet we worry about clothing ourselves. We worry about feeding ourselves. We worry about our lifespan. And we can't do any of this. We can't do anything to add to this. And yet the Lord sees that we need these things, and He gives it all to us, especially when we put the kingdom of God before anything else. That's where the problem comes in, isn't it? That's where the anxiety comes in, because that belief is not always there. That faithfulness is not always there. We give in to the idea that somehow, despite our most pious efforts and prayers and even the faith that we think we have, that somehow the Lord is going to fail us, that He's going to let us down, when in fact He created us. He knows more about us than we know ourselves. He sets the example for us in His own faithfulness in going to the cross. And He says, look, put the kingdom of God and its righteousness ahead of all else. And be not doubting, be not anxious, but be faithful. But yet there is so much, it seems like, in the world today to be anxious about. We neglect that peace that God has given us because we have that lack of trust, because we feel like somehow if it were left up to us, we would be able to fix it all, to make it better, because God either is unable to do so or He simply doesn't want to do so. We're not really sure, are we? And every one of you knows that those doubts creep in. Every one of you knows that when you are saying a prayer for something, you are so hopeful that it'll go your way, but yet there's that little sliver of doubt sitting in the back that's afraid that it's not going to. It's afraid that somehow God's going to do something to upset your plans and the way you think things should go. And oftentimes He does, because He doesn't want us to get tripped up over our egos, over our own idealism, even over our own trying to make ourselves God in this life, which many of us do try to do. The Lord is wanting to give us peace. He's wanting to give us security. He's wanting to give us calmness, an absolute balm in our hearts, so that no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in our lives, we won't be anxious. Auden's own poem, I think it was 1940s. He wrote a poem called The Age of Anxiety. And he put down in words what it really is. We are anxious about so many things in life today. We have the entire world in our view today. We are so busy in everything we do. We are so technologically adept at so many things. Life has become so complex, so unbelievably cluttered with so many things that are unbelievably unnecessary. If we just have the ability to look through and find the kingdom of God that is sitting in the midst of all of this. It didn't go anywhere. It's still there. It's still there like it's always been. But we have to clear out the junk. We have to clear out the noise. We have to seek some solitude, some silence, some peace for our souls. And God offers this even today. Even today, He will do that. Even today, He will give us that righteousness that is His. If we can find the faith to respond to Him so that He might see in us worthy receptacles of His grace and of His blessing. It's a difficult thing for me to stand up here and tell anyone not to be anxious about something. Because I'll bet you any money, before this day is out, you're going to be anxious about something. You will think of something that's going on in your life, no matter how insignificant, and it'll be, oh, gee, I forgot that. Oh, I've got this coming up, and I've got these other things that are happening, and oh, what if this happens? What am I going to do? It doesn't seem to end, does it? But it can end. It can end if you apply the salve of grace, the oil, the balm of the divine energies of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you will take that upon yourself and understand that He is the antidote to anxiety. He is the one that can cure all. If you will but put your trust in Him and seek Him first, we are anxious because we put Him aside. But if you seek Him first, He's going to be there. He's not going to leave. He's not going to leave you bereft of hope, of faith, and love, and of the ability to reach out to Him and to pray to Him and to love Him more than anything else in the world. So acquire this peace, my brethren. Let's all just sort of sit back and relax a little bit. Forget about it. At least for this time during the Divine Liturgy, when all the saints of heaven are here, when they're all gathered around us, let us lay aside all earthly cares, the hymn will tell us in just a few minutes. Let us set this aside and let us re-engage with our Lord Jesus Christ, who, if we are but willing, will give us the strength and the power and the soothing grace that only He can give so that you can carry it out with you when you leave the church today and keep it all through the week. Amen.